We're on the air. Good morning. Welcome to the Finance Administration Operations Committee meeting of Wednesday, April 16th. Please call the roll.
Committee Chair Peterson.
Here.
Director Darcy.
Here.
Director Gonzalez.
Here.
Chair Wolf.
Here.
Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you. Any public comments? I was aware of any. You don't see any. All right. Approval of the minutes of the Finance Administration Operations Committee meeting held on March 19, 2014. Were there any changes or clarifications? There being none, do I hear a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Additional items? Not aware of any. On this item here, Executive Director Christie has several items.
Okay, thank you, Chair Peterson. I'm pleased to formally introduce to you a couple of people who are here today. First, our new Chief of Administration, Debbie Allen, who joined us on April 7th here. We're happy to have you. Thank you very much. She comes from the Illinois Department of Transportation. We won't make any comparisons here because they are wonderful partners, but we're thrilled to have to have you here in our shop and on our team, so thank you for joining us. And Christy Rignary, I don't know if we have we introduced you at a board meeting before. I apologize. So Christy is here. She's the new board secretary and is starting getting her feet wet, so to speak. So we're happy to have you here as well. And thank you, of course, to Rob and Marlene Vick, who have been filling in this role for some time, and I know are even more thrilled to see you here than the rest of us are. So, thank you. I also wanted to let everyone know, and I think you saw, but this week, the Illinois Tollway issued its 5 millionth transponder, which we're very excited about. Val Pueller and Ted Krafson joined the ranks of our 3.6 million active IPAS account holders. Val told me personally that she had convinced her husband to come in. They use the tollway a couple times a month, but she knew that it would be a savings for them in time and money to have a transponder. So they were, of course, thrilled to be singled out in this way when we when we pulled them out of the line and let them know that they were the 5 million transponder holders. But they were
saved them a lot of time.
It saved them a lot of time, right, exactly. But they got some cupcakes and a nice plaque that I'm sure will be displayed over their fireplace, as well as some gift cards for to load their transponder for tolls. So we're happy to have them, and of course, I think a good reminder to all of us of how successful the IPAS program has been. So I think we have a couple of presentations today. We wanted to update the board on the maintenance sites and our plan for the maintenance sites. We've given presentations before on this topic, but as you may recall, the Move Illinois program consists of some and has funds set aside in it for we'll be doing the work on these facilities, and I think you'll be pleased to see that we are really trying to make investments here that will make these sites more efficient, but also keep to the mantra of our clean green initiatives in this capital program with some LEED certifications. So, Greg, take it away, now that I've stolen your whole presentation.
Thank you, and good morning. As Christy said, my name is Greg Stuckel. I'm a deputy chief in the engineering department here at the Tollway. And I'll give you a quick brief on the maintenance facility program. The Move Illinois program allocated about $500 million to improve our maintenance facilities. The program goes across all years of the program from 2013 through 2026. There are currently 11 maintenance facilities on our system. Seven date back to the original tollway construction from 1958. Two are constructed in 1974 as part of the East-West extension, which is now the Ronald Reagan Tollway. One was constructed in 92 for the north-south tollway, and then the M2 and Hillside was reconstructed in 1994 as part of the central tri-state widening. This program also plans to build a new maintenance facility for the Elgin O'Hare Western Access. So the tollway plans to reconstruct the seven that were constructed back in 1958. Two of those we hope to relocate. That's the M4 Gurney site and the M8 Naperville site. And the others four will be rehabilitated. All of them will be designed to the new LEED standards. We're going for a minimum of silver, and we'll see if we can get anything better than silver through the design and construction. Okay, we plan to reconstruct the M1 ELSIP site first. ELSIP was chosen because it's one of the oldest on the system, and it's a part of the system on the South Tri-State that's seen a lot of lane miles added to the system, and later this year we'll be opening the two legs of the interchange at 294-57. So this is the existing site. This is the salt barn that's relatively new. These are the two older buildings that will be reconstructed. Okay, the new facility will be one of the largest on the system. Size of the building is determined by the number of snowplow trucks that we need within that area. This facility will house about 22 snowplow trucks. We're going to build this building while maintaining maintenance operations during construction. We plan to start construction in August of 2014 and be complete by October 2015. The total site is 10.9 acres. We'll use about seven of it. The other is going to be used for detainage. The building is a 96,000 square foot facility. The new facility will also have a truck wash and an equipment shelter. So this is where the new facility is going to be. As you can see, the old facilities were here, so we're going to be able to maintain the operations while we build the new facility. This slide shows a schematic of the floor plan of the facility. We use the M1 ELSIP site as a prototype building. What we plan to do is essentially build the same building at each site. The only thing that's going to change is the size of the building. The support area.
So the importance of that, Greg, is it's easier than for us to maintain, right? There's some cost efficiency and kind of efficiency and scale if you kind of repeat the same
yes.
building footprint at all the different locations.
Correct.
Yeah.
So the support area and the parks and administration area will be common to all the different sites. The truck parking area is kind of like that will be sized determining how many numbers of trucks we need, so it's kind of a modular type construction. Also, the truck maintenance area will depending upon how many maintenance days we need at each site. So this is the largest site, as I said. Some of the other sites will be smaller than this. So we essentially designed the building once, we're able to size it the way we want it, and get the plans ready that way. Okay, for the M1 site, we unbundled it into eight contracts. There's going to be a utility contract, that's contract 4182, that we will be presenting at the April board. This is for advanced utility work to get the utilities out of the way at the site. We'll have a roping that a couple days before board, so we're going to be pushing that, get that work going. The next contract is going to be the 4182 contract, which is actually the building itself. We plan to bring that to the June board with construction starting in August. And then there's going to be a number of smaller contracts that we're coordinating with Diversity on to prepare them as either unbundled or small business set-aside contracts. And the dates on these contracts will be determined once we develop the final schedule.
So we really saw these M sites as an opportunity, right, for smaller businesses
yes.
to do some work for the tollway, because sometimes it's hard to break in or to do work for us, you know, on a mainline project where there's a lot of, you know, maintenance of traffic and high-speed traffic that needs to be managed. But this is an opportunity to, you know, break things up and provide some smaller contracts.
Right. Correct. On March 5th, we teamed with the Capital Development Board and had an outreach session for
for smaller contractors. We work with Gustavo's group on it.
And this is, and I think that was the first time we'd done something like that for facilities, right? Because we don't do as much of this type of construction. So I was there. People seem to really appreciate that.
I have one other opportunity, which may not be the trouble it's worth, but, and particularly because this one's close, out of Olive Harvey Community College, that's the logistics and distribution emphasis for city colleges now. It might be, there might be students who would be both interested in the design of the facility, might get interns or even a faculty member involved. And also one of the emphasis out there is sort of central distribution. So I noticed you have that administration and distribution area there that, again, might be an opportunity for faculty and for students to learn about how you're thinking about designing and operating that.
At least another question, that's a good point. What kind of input do we get from the supervisors and maintenance facility people at the arts?
We had numerous meetings with both maintenance staff, with Jeff Redding's staff on operations to get their input as to what type of materials and what they were looking for. Also did a lot of coordination with state police because they do have an office at these facilities. There were numerous meetings, weekly meetings over the course of about 4 or 5 months.
So the question is, well, the truck wash, where do we have a truck wash there before? Is that new?
That would be new. The way we wash the trucks now is we just have an area inside the building and get out of holes, and the guys try to wash them as best they can.
On site there.
Yeah.
And the security of the sites? Are there any security systems built into the new facility?
Yeah, there'll be security on the new sites, yes.
Okay. Thanks.
So the truck wash is helpful, right, in maintaining the fleet because of the salt and
correct.
Corrosive material.
Okay, this is a rendering of what the new facility will look like.
Wouldn't you like to have this in your backyard?
Extra 10 acres.
And we've been coordinating with also families too. They seem to be very pleased with what the building's going to look like and what we're doing at that site. Okay, this here is a tentative schedule on what we plan to do on the maintenance facilities. So in 2014, we're going to get started with M1. In 2015, we hope to get the rehabilitations of those four that I talked about. That's M11 and M12 out on the East-West Tollway, and M2 and 14. Those are our newer facilities. We want to get the rehabilitations of those done. We know we need to get started on the Elgin O'Hare site to coincide with that improvement. And then the rest we are planning to do is get the designs done and get the designs on the shelf so that we're able to go out with these whenever we have, if we get some funding available, we'll be able to go out earlier than the schedule.
And it's not just funding, it's also the land acquisition, right, for those that are moving. So it's possible, for instance, in particular, this M8 site may move up if we can accelerate land acquisition and construction.
Correct.
So we told Jared that you're going to commence and complete, so M2 will be the first one you're going to do, is that right?
M1 is the first one.
M1 is the last one. M1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's when we hope to get going this year.
M4 from Jared E, would you take into consideration, you know, you're monitoring the Route 2053?
Yes, that's one that we would plan to relocate.
Okay.
Okay, any other questions?
Okay. So thank you a lot, Greg, and everybody in engineering and operations and finance and who participated in these discussions. What's condensed into 8 slides here is a lot of work internally to get to this end product, but I think we definitely have something that's going to be better facilities for the people out there, you know, handling maintenance and other activities on our roadways. So. We have a presentation when we get to the engineering section. We thought we'd do it in advance of some of the items in engineering just to explain where we stand on I-90 in particular, which of course, as we all know, is a very important project to us, but I'll defer maybe that introduction of that presentation until we get to that section, if that's okay with everybody.
Sure.
So, other than that, I don't have anything else to report.
Thank you.
Finance.
Thank you. Good morning, directors.
Morning.
Finance has one item for the committee this morning. Before, on that item, I wanted to mention that we are working toward discussion next month of an update of the investment policy, as well as our debt management guidelines. You should have received, hopefully you've received, a markup that showed the changes that we did the last time, a red line. We have started to do the same on the investment policy for going forward. We'll be sending that out in the next week or so, I think, Kathy, along with some updates to the debt management guidelines. Some of it will be simply straightforward kind of formatting changes. Others of it will make sure that we are in compliance with all of the requirements of the various FACs and indentures and so forth. So you should be receiving that in the next week or two. The item for the committee this morning is renewal of our liability insurance program for commercial, general, business, automobile, and excess liability insurance. The broker that helped develop the program and procured the insurance was USI Midwest. The liability insurance program for the tollway expires May 31st. It was initially procured through an RFP process in 2011 that provided for four additional one-year renewals. We are recommending renewal. This would be the third renewal of the four possible renewals. As I mentioned, USI Midwest submitted a renewal proposal package which offers quotes for the expiring from the companies that are providing the expiring policies. All of premiums quoted are for the policy year that begins on June 1 of 2014. There's multiple layers to this coverage. It totals $150 million in aggregate. The insurance company of the state of Pennsylvania offers the primary insurance layer of coverage of $20 million per occurrence. This coverage policy has a retention level, self-funded retention level, funded by the tollway, of $250,000 for automobile liability and $500,000 for other claims. That's the same as the expiring policies.
Are you comfortable with those deductibles?
We are.
Okay.
For the new policy year, the carrier will include an annual aggregate limit of $40 million for all liability coverages, excluding automobile liability. Automobile liability will be $20 million per occurrence. So there is no aggregate limit on the initial layer of coverage for automobile liability. This is a little bit of a change from last year. In the last year, those $20 million per occurrence on that primary layer for all coverages, automobile and other coverages. But I think in reviewing the policy, the companies found that this was quite an unusual feature, and in an effort to keep the cost equivalent to last year, made this modification. Practically, it doesn't have a significant impact to us, because what happens is the excess layers drop down and provide the coverage if they meet that aggregate limit. For the excess layers of liability coverage, we have Star Indemnity and Liability Company, Arch Insurance, Great American Assurance Company, AXIS Specialty Insurance Company, and RSUI Indemnity. They offer policy limits that total an additional $130 million above that initial $20 million layer of coverage. Now, that's an aggregate coverage, not per occurrence. The renewal premium quoted for these layers of coverage would increase less than 1%, 0.09%, I guess, for a premium of $353,000, $513. The initial layer for Insurance Company of Pennsylvania was $599,500. In aggregate, the entire package increases $3,200. The broker, as I mentioned, was USI Midwest. They would receive a flat fee of $75,000. That's included in the premium. And working with USI Midwest is an MBE, Broker Risk Management Solution. They will receive a commission equal to 6% of the primary layer, which is equivalent to about $35,970, or about 24.6% of the total brokerage fees. And then finally, there's a wholesale broker that also would receive about 24% of the aggregate, about $35,145 for brokerage fees. So total brokerage fees of about $146,000, with 24.6% going to the MBE broker. As I mentioned,
those fees increase, or are they the same as last year?
I believe the brokerage commissions and fees are the same as last year, John. Then the flat fee is definitely the same.
Flat fee is the same. The other ones, because there's only $3,200 in vehicle premiums, relatively the same percentage. So.
Are you comfortable with the coverages? The amount of coverages?
We are. It has actually increased. The last time it was increased, John, was in 2007, I believe. The policy increased it from $100 million to $150 million aggregate coverage. We did that in part because it would provide some flexibility with respect to the requirements we put on contract purchases. Help us to streamline and hopefully reduce the cost of providing contractors. With that, finance would recommend approval of the liability insurance program renewal.
Any further questions? Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Procurement has two items today. John?
Sure. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So I actually only have one item. We're removing item number two from the agenda.
Item two is removed.
Okay. Yes. So this item is a request to renew our contract to our computerized fuel management system. The contract provides maintenance and support for this fuel management system, which was installed back in 2007. So similar to pay at the pump credit card stations, our fueling locations have a controller that the driver must enter key vehicle information before any fuel can be dispensed. The software for this system enables us to collect fuel data system-wide, and it's integrated into our SUN system. Award is recommended to Asset Works LLC in a total amount not to exceed $30,000 for the one-year period. And this is our fourth and final renewal available. Any questions?
Any questions on that?
No.
You have to go back. We didn't take a motion on Mike's item. There being no questions on procurement item one, do I hear a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Moves to the full board. We need to go back and take under finance item one we just discussed, or a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Moves to the full board. Thank you. Thanks, John. Business system, Sean.
Morning.
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 Pleased to bring to you today something that is designed to assist us in our continued journey on replacing our back office electronic tolling system. The last couple of years we've talked about with the board our desire not only to get world-class software and a world-class team in place, but also a third party that will just help us keep the right eyes and the clear mind and the objective sense of how the implementation is going. And that's what we bring you here today with the Jacobs Engineering Group. The amount will be $2,420,000. That includes a small contingency, and it would mostly be a two-year process during the actual implementation that Accenture is doing of the SAP system.
What is the existing system right now?
Our existing system today is a largely custom-developed system that we've had for almost 10 years, and the company is ETCC. It's part of the larger Trump contract, which is laying the back office.
Diversity goal is 20%, or is it confirmed?
Diversity goal is 20%, and they've committed 34%.
34% committed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. They committed that through Catalyst Consulting Group?
Right.
And they're based here?
Catalyst, I believe they are based in Chicago, yeah. So this is normally an item that would have gone to the Customer Service Committee, but just because of timing and the fact that we don't have that meeting until next month, this was important. You may recall that we awarded the back office system to Accenture several months ago, and this was one of the other procurements that was contemplated as part of that implementation. And I believe we had an initial budget on this. We were projecting somewhere around $4 million. Is that correct?
Correct.
So, we were happy with the pricing that we ultimately got.
And can you explain about the two that didn't meet or exceed the technical point threshold?
The first phase of evaluation was a reading of written proposal. So there was one vendor that did not pass that phase for the combined scoring of the evaluation team. I'm looking to John, tell me if I need to say anything else. And then the second phase involved the oral presentations. And at that point, everybody received new scores with the added benefit of having to listen to the vendors present the detail and clarify some things. And there was another vendor at that point that didn't pass that threshold of combined scoring from the evaluation phase.
So but two had an opportunity to present.
Two had the opportunity to present.
In person.
Correct.
Three came in.
Right, so since that one vendor, Verizon, they didn't score high enough to get out of phase one, so they weren't offered to come into the and present orally. And then during phase two, after the oral presentations, Computer Aid didn't score high enough to be considered for price and award. So that left Jacobs Engineering.
Jacobs historically has been, an engineering company, architectural firm, with all disciplines in those areas. I don't know them to have that expertise, but how long have they had this type of expertise in-house?
It's been about 2.5 to 3 years.
Okay.
They purchased actually a relatively well-known strategic tolling organization.
So they purchased, that's how they acquired, an entity, that's how they qualify. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And they do have a really great tolling background and a great technology and SAP background at this point. But it is true, historically, they are largely in engineering.
Right.
And do they have a presence in Illinois in this?
Their tolling group has several people who are here in Illinois. Their on-site everyday team are Illinois people.
But the engineering company certainly
engineering
has a presence
company,
here.
St. Louis based, are they, right? Jacobs?
Yeah, they've just had to look it up.
Headquarters, yes, all that stuff they got acquired. Yeah. Initially, they were saying, they've been moved around.
And I think they have a big presence various places.
Gotcha.
Okay. And getting back to your question on the sub-catalyst, they are in Chicago. They're Chicago-based.
They are local.
They have a local office.
Okay. You're talking about Jacobs. He's talking about Catalyst.
Right. I'm talking about Catalyst.
Yes,
sub contract.
Yeah,
I was talking about Jacobs, yes.
So you're answering both questions.
Teamwork.
Great.
Any other questions? Okay. There being none, do I hear a motion to approve under Business Systems Item 1?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Moves to the full board consent agenda. Thanks, Sean.
Thank you.
Under Engineering, Christy, I'll let you lead in. Give the lead in here to the presentation.
Sure. On that last item, do we need to mention anything? This amount that's approved by the board is a contingency. There is a contingency.
I had mentioned that there is
you
a
mentioned
small
that. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, I guess I wasn't paying close enough attention, which I would rarely admit.
Or I probably talked too fast.
No,
my mother tells me.
Good of you to take the blame. So I apologize. So as you may recall, even from the last, I think even a couple of board meetings, we've been talking about some of the contracts related to our work on I-90, particularly the western section of I-90. And we know that, with the weather conditions and, other factors, but particularly weather, quite frankly, it's important that we manage that project dynamically and make sure that we can keep it on track. Because keeping something on schedule really drives whether or not we can keep it on budget, whether it's the original contract amount or the overall I-90 budget. Since we are bringing a couple more contracts to the board, either at the Finance Committee level or the board next week on I-90, and you'll probably continue to see a couple over the next several months, and you've already seen some, we wanted to talk through some of the things that we're doing to try to make sure that we can manage and deliver this project on time for our customers and open those lanes at the end of this year that people have been expecting from us. And also make sure that the board and this committee are aware of some of the challenges that we've experienced and how we're handling them. Paul and his team have done, I think, a very good job of trying to keep us on track here. So we wanted to kind of set the stage for some of these contracts and changes that we're going to see on these I-90 projects and make sure that everybody's aware of the steps and aggressive steps that we're taking to make sure that this project stays on track. So, Paul?
Thank you, Executive Director.
You're welcome, Chief Engineer.
I'm wearing a light colored suit today because, as far as I'm concerned, winter is over. We're moving forward. As Christy mentioned, you know, apparently not everyone understands that we're trying to deliver $1.4 billion in capital improvements this year. We got a lot of things that are causing us challenges, but we are reacting in a very proactive manner to address these challenges. We feel that we're putting the tollway in the best position to succeed, and we're also minimizing our costs. A lot of this presentation, which just disappeared. Am I doing this, Nancy?
No, I apologize.
So as Christy mentioned, the weather is not cooperating, and actually it started I'm going to cover what we're working on I-90 in the West and how weather has impacted it. I'm going to talk about what we're doing to address these schedule impacts and give you a heads up on the authorizations to proceed. Those are those change orders and extra work orders, which I asked the board to consider and approve, and then give you the opportunity to ask questions and become more informed about, you know, what our operations are. So I'm not really surprising anyone when I tell them, you know, the weather is having an impact on our work. And actually, it started last spring. We had a very wet spring. April saw 9 inches of rainfall. May had 5 inches. June had 6 inches. You know, the average rainfall during those months is like 4 inches. So we had a lot of delays early on when we were working on the new pavement, 37 miles on the eastbound side of I-90. Which we had to address. We did address most of it throughout the summer months. We made up for a lot of that lost time. You know, we did complete that 37 miles of pavement before the end of the year. But the winter set in then, very early, started in November. That's unusual. We started experiencing temperatures that, you know, actually the average temperatures between November and February range from 3 to 13. In January, we got 23 inches of snow. These were all exceeding any of the averages or norms, and they had a big impact on the work that we had planned to do throughout some of these winter months and what we hope to accomplish. So this slide kind of shows the schedule that we had, and you see, that was fast. In 2012, we did some of the advanced work preparing the shoulders out there to accept the new maintenance of traffic. 2013 was a big year for us, but it was focused primarily just on rebuilding the three lanes in the eastbound direction. We gave ourselves 26 weeks, which is the normal construction time period for, you know, this part of the country. And then you see how the expanded construction season is for 2014. And that's because we knew we had to complete the median and the new westbound lanes. So we definitely had a lot more work to do. We gave ourselves 53 weeks compared to the 26 weeks that we had last year. We do recognize, though, that you can't get as much work done in the wintertime as you can during the good months of the year. So really, the effective, you know, number of weeks was probably in the 40 to 45 range. But we obviously lost a lot of that time during the winter months. We were not able to do any of our We had planned to do some concrete work in the median. That can proceed in the wintertime normally. We had planned to do some building of the warm mix asphalt shoulders. We could do that in the later months of the year. That's why we went to warm mix asphalt. It allows greater time periods to put it down. We had actually planned to have all the excavation of the median done before that time, but because of the early onset of the frost and everything, all those operations got interrupted. So I'm not going to hide the fact this is an aggressive schedule, but this is what the tollway does when they deliver their projects. We believe, and being schedule-driven, we think that it focuses the whole project team on getting the work done. We feel that this has given us the best prices for the work, and we feel that this has given these improvements to our customers as quickly as we can, and that's what we're focused about. That's what the whole project team is focused about. So once we knew that we had incurred these delays, we immediately began developing a mitigation plan so that we could deliver our improvements on time to our customers. We're working diligently right now to maintain the schedule that we have. We want to get these lanes built, and we want to get this new pavement open before the end of 2014. We're completely focused on that. We're continuing to operate within our budget. I want you to know that, you know, we do aggressively manage our projects. We manage our projects on a project-by-project basis, we manage them on a corridor basis, and we manage them on a program basis. So overall, our mitigation measures right now are not really impacting the project level even yet. We're not exceeding our budgets there, and we know we're well within our corridor budgets. So we feel that we do have a shot at getting this work done, and we're going to push everybody to see that it is done. I also know that if we don't get it done, it will cost more in the end. So these are the steps that we've taken in our mitigation plan. It is a multi-step process. We began by meeting with everyone on the project team early in January, before winter was even over with, to talk to our designers, talk to our construction managers, talk to our contractors, engage our program management office, put everyone's head together and say, you know, what can we do right now to put ourselves in the best position to succeed as soon as this weather breaks? And actually, we didn't even wait for the weather to break. We took some actions earlier on to address the initial conditions out there. We know that the topsoil was causing us problems. We had that replaced with stone. Those ATPs got approved earlier on. Step two, we implemented some winter construction acceleration. So we actually paid to add some shifts during the winter to do whatever we could out there. And one of the significant examples of this is some of those authorizations to proceed that we got for this winter construction acceleration allowed our contractors who were doing some of the advanced drainage work to add some multiple crews, and they actually regained a significant amount of time on the schedule by deploying additional crews out there as soon as they could. And that work actually happened throughout December and January, and then we gained about 20 weeks back on what we had lost. So that definitely helped us out a lot. We also did some rephasing of the work. So the idea was to have all the median work done, you know, build that new median barrier, fill in the whole median area before we started working on the lanes. So right now we're going to defer some of that median work till after we complete the lanes. So this way, you know, we can return traffic to the normal lanes earlier, and then we can come back and finish up the median work with maybe some shoulder closures or temporary lane closures. So we feel that that's a lot more in the interest of our customers to approach it that way, and it is going to help us regain some of this lost time on the schedule. So the next step is what I'm going to talk about in a little more detail. So we're revising some of our approaches to doing this construction of the pavement, and we're basing it on some of our lessons learned from last year's construction. We knew we had poor soils out there, but what we didn't, you know, fully anticipate or appreciate is once those poor soils got wet, we were pretty much stuck in the mud. There was all work stopped, and that literally happened. So what we tried to do when we were brainstorming with the project team was say, you know, is there a better way to go about building this new pavement that, you know, we don't have to expose as much of the poor soil, to the potential wet weather that we're going to have again this year? And can we, you know, produce the final product that's just as good as the original product? And we came up with a, we had a couple options, and really these options boil down to only one concept. In the original design, which is the cheapest way we could do this work, it involved removing all of the existing pavement and all of the existing stone base that was under this pavement. And we reuse 100% of the existing pavement and the new pavement. So the only revision we made in the process is we're still going to remove all the existing pavement, we're still going to crush it, we're still going to reuse it as part of the stone base for the new pavement, but we're leaving in place all the existing stone that's out there. That's kind of serving as a cap over the poor soil conditions right now. But we do have to add some items to the contract in order to leave that in place and make sure that it's a stable base to build on. And that involves adding a fabric layer on top of this existing base. And one of the options included adding this special geogrid material, which serves to stabilize the base and give it some structural component. So those are the actual extra work orders that I'm going to be presenting to the board today. They will cost us a little more, but the fact that we're going to leave that stone in place, not expose that underlying soil to potential wet weather, which I cannot predict if it's going to happen or not, is going to allow us to actually build this pavement a lot faster than we could have built it, and we're going to gain a lot of days back on the schedule. So those are the benefits. I think I covered them. We're addressing the poor soil. It allows us to expedite construction. We're still reusing all the existing pavement that's out there. It's going to stay out there. It will require a little bit less hauling because we, in the old process, we had to remove all the existing stone, stockpile, and then put it all back down again. It's going to minimize our exposure to weather, and it's going to produce a pavement that's going to serve us just as well as the other pavement would have, and it's going to last just as long.
So, I'm sure this is a dumb question, but why did you think initially that you needed to take it out so that you put it back?
Well, we always knew we were going to recycle all of the existing pavement. Uh-huh. And as I said, actually, that would have probably been the absolute cheapest way we could have done this work. Because adding the filter fabric and adding the geogrid has additional costs. So if we wouldn't have run into all this poor soil and wet weather combination, which I realize I can't predict, it probably wouldn't have driven us to innovate and develop this new approach to building it. And I feel now, based on what we learned last year, that it fully justifies these additional costs that we want to ask the board to approve, to put down this fabric and put down this geogrid so that we can insulate ourselves against those problems in the westbound lanes.
So it would cost us, assuming that there were going to be the same kind of delays and problems this year as there were last year, it would cost us the same amount or something equivalent to that, the delays that it cost us to
absolutely
have this innovative alternative.
Absolutely.